In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Welcome back to your program, Word of Life. Let's continue our commentaries on the Gospel of St. Mark, starting from chapter 15. Now we are with the verse number 8. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. First of all, I want to comment on the word envy. Some people do not understand this word. They believe that this envy is something related to just looking at somebody with a feeling of hatredness and with a dark vision, with a blue eye, so people may get hurt. But actually, envy was written in the Bible meaningfully that it means usually the feeling of hatredness, the enmity feeling. So this envy is a real sin inside the heart, and might be expressed by many ways of anger or revenge or whatever. But Pilate knew that these Jews hated our Lord Jesus Christ, and they were full of envy, and that's why they pushed him to let Christ be crucified. Again, the multitude here, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. Maybe in other occasions they stood against him. They used to offend him doing this. But in this case, in this year, because they need something, actually they were pushing Pilate to release Barabbas and to make Christ crucified. So we need to know that we shouldn't go with the multitude with the loud voice. Sometimes this loud voice is against the right and the real truth. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, What then do you want me to do with him, whom you call the king of the Jews? Now you can see that the character of Pilate, such a weak person, he cannot take the decision himself. He cannot stand against their loud voice. So he made it clearly as if he is asking them, what exactly you want me to do? But you know, in his position, he should never ask such a question. He should take his own decision and make his judgment. What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews? Again, you know, Pilate was insisting to say the king of the Jews, and if this is exactly what they accused him of, and also because he knew his reputation as the king of the Jews. So they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said to them, Why? What evil has he done? You know, this discussion revealed that Pilate was that sure that Christ was innocent, and you know, the judgment was biased and was taken into a side way because of these people. But they cried out all the more, Crucify him. So by just crying out and out, and you know, raising their voice, Crucify him, as if they don't have any evidence. They cannot prove their accusation. So let's just say, crucify him. And that's exactly what happened in the stories of the martyrs and most of the stories of persecution, that people can never find any evidence of proof of any wickedness in the people of God, but just they can raise their voice, Crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Look to this. He wanted to gratify the crowd. People, when they think of pleading other people, usually they cannot do the right thing. Usually they overdoing things and they do not follow their conscience. Pilate was sure that Christ was innocent, but he couldn't stand for the decision of releasing him. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him. You know, they were mocking our Lord Jesus Christ. So after the sentence of being crucified, they made some purple garment for him as showing him like king. But you know, as they did not respect him, so they put also a crown of thorns over his head. You know, the thorns were earlier written in the book of Genesis because it was related to the curse happened with the early fathers Adam and Eve. So as if Christ came to put these thorns of the earth on his head and also to redeem our old father Adam and Eve. They twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. Imagine how painful when they were striking him on the head with the thorns in the head and also spitting upon his face. That's all for our redemption and these sufferings, because Christ loved all human beings and he showed them how bad their sins were. Then they struck him on the head with the reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. So they were taking him to be crucified after such period of mocking him, and these were part of his plan to also fulfill all the prophecies related to these hours. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. You know, because Christ was very much exhausted because of these sufferings, and he spent the whole night having this court, and he had enough time of being spitted upon and also suffered the all types of suffering this night. So you know, he couldn't even carry the cross to the end, because in his plan he liked to be shared with some human man. So he, as if he is expressing that this cross is not his cross, but it's the cross of humankind, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. You know, this place Golgotha, translated place of a skull, they believe that the skull of Adam, our grandfather, is there in this mountain. So putting the cross on the skull, as if the real Adam, the new Adam, the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, came just to redeem the old Adam and to cover the sins of humankind. Also, they gave him wine mingled with myrrh. This is part of their act of crucifying the people, because you know they help like anesthesia to not to focus on the pain. When they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots of them to determine what every man should take. Even his garment was, you know, casted and were distributed on the soldiers. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription of his accusation was written above the king of the Jews, saying that it was the third hour. It was the hour of the sentence. The court ended at the third hour with the sentence of crucifixion. But you know, the act of crucifixion on Golgotha was on the sixth hour. Also, the inscription of his accusation was written, the king of the Jews, to declare that that was his accusation. Actually, it was not a real problem to be a king, but saying he was the king as if he was standing against Caesar and he was making political issues. So that was his accusation. Also, writing the inscription this way revealed to the history that Christ was considered the real king and the king of kings. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. You know, Saint Mark was not writing to the Jews, but rather he was writing his book to the Romans. So he did not mention many prophecies like Saint Matthew had done in his gospel. But in this, actually, he reported this prophecy that he was numbered with the transgressors, just to show the Romans that the early prophecies written in the Old Testament were declaring what's going on now on the act of crucifixion. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So, over his pains and sufferings and this hard time, another problem that people were passing by were mocking him, were blaspheming him, and they said, this man said, Christ said, destroy the temple and build it in, I'll build it in 3 days. So when they remembered this saying, they were mocking him, but they did not know that they were mentioning exactly what's happening in this minute, that he is destroying the temple of his body in order to be raised from the dead on the third day. You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. He did not come to save himself, he came to save humanity. That's why he is not going to come down from the cross. You know, it was easier for the Lord to come down, but actually he came from heaven for this minute to be crucified for all of us. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. While mocking Christ on the cross, they said, if he saved others, why don't he save himself? You know, they were pushing him to to come down from the cross if he is real God. But because he was real God, he was and is always God, he did not come down just to satisfy their desire, but he stood for the cross till the end to save all humanity. It's another message. Don't go with the words of the people. Just go with the principle. Go with the conscience. Go with the word of God and follow and obey the commandment of God, and don't focus much on the words of people. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. So the two robbers also were mocking him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. You know, this darkness happened in the midday, you know, as if we are creating all creation again from the early beginning. Because if you read the book of Genesis, everything started with darkness and light shined up. So, you know, it's kind of new creation with the resurrection, beginning from the point of crucifixion. And also this darkness were symbolizing the idea that the darkness of evil were everywhere in this world, and God, the true light of God, came just to shine up and to enlighten our minds with his redemption, crucifixion and resurrection. Was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. These words were written in their Aramaic language, as exactly was spoken by the Lord himself, just to show that these words were related to the psalm that the Jews were singing usually in many times, Psalm number 22. And this psalm actually is the best one, which explained the details of the day of crucifixion. Just go to read this psalm to see how much accurate was this psalm, commenting on this day and explaining all the details. Which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Somebody may ask, how could our Lord Jesus said that the Father God forsaken him? Actually, Christ is not only God, but also man. So he feels like a man. He was really hurt at that time. And when you feel hurt, actually you cry out to God saying, why have you forsaken me? So it's simply the expression of any man when he suffered a lot. Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Because these Jews, as written in their books, they had eyes, but they were rather blind. They couldn't see. And they had ears, but they couldn't hear. So even when he was praying to his Father God, you know, they considered him saying Elijah and calling for the prophet Elijah. They couldn't understand that he was praying as man in his suffering. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. This man may be a kind one who tried to relieve his pain with this, you know, kind of sour wine just to help him to feel better. This man said, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. You know, many of the Jews believe that Elijah did not die, so he will come again. So in times of death, they used to believe that he might appear. That's why this man said so. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. You know, many of the forefathers of the church commented on this loud voice as if he is roaring like a lion, he is conquering death, he is overcoming all devil power, even to the last breath. So he was not fainting with weak voice, but he actually cried out with a very loud voice, winning the game and overcoming death. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." You know, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And this, you know, this separated wall between people and God was torn from above, explaining that this redemption came from heaven and the reconciliation between God and man was made by God, who became man for this redemption. In this minute, the centurion who stood up opposite him saw. He cried such a loud voice, and he was such a very brave and strong man till the last breath. He said, "Truly, this man was not a real, was not a usual man. He was the Son of God." So now we can see one of the officers of the Roman part revealed the truth and declared that he was Son of God in the presence of priests and scribes of the Jews, who they ignored the truth. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Judas, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee. You know, there were many Mary. As you know, Mary, Saint Mary, his mother, were there with Saint John, his disciple, but also Mary the Magdalene and Mary, mother of James and Judas. You know, this Mary was the sister of our mother, Saint Mary. So she were standing beside her at this minute, and this women were ministering to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. As if telling us that most of the men were following Christ at that time, they couldn't stand this minute. They doubted him. They were scared, so they ran away. But the women were more courageous, and they stood for him till the end. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. Now it was, you know, the end of Friday and the start of the Sabbath day. And as you all know, the Jews stick to the commandment of the Sabbath day literally, and they cannot do anything with the start of the day of the Sabbath day. And this day started usually at 6 p.m. afternoon on Friday. That's what they were calculating it. So they were running out of time. So because of this, they were anxious to find any cemetery just close to this area. So Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, which means that he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming and taking courage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, because sometimes these crucified, accused people were spending like 1 or 2 days on the cross. But because Christ suffered a lot before the minute of crucifixion, his death was quicker. So Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So this question is very important, actually, to prove to the history that the centurion was that sure that Christ died on the cross, and he had spent like 2 hours dead on the cross from the 9th hour till the 11th hour, when they started to take his body down. He asked him if he had been dead for some time, so when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Judas, observed where he was laid. So this man, Joseph of Arimathea, who were a rich man, a good man, who followed Christ from apart, but in this minute he was courageous, and he asked to take the blessing of his body to be buried in his tomb. And the tomb was very close to the point of crucifixion, and Pilate gave the order to give the body to Joseph. And they wrapped him, and they had to put him quickly, because the minutes were running and the Friday were ending with the start of the Sabbath day. Now with the last chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Because they did not find enough time to put what they were putting to the bodies in this minute that they used as juice, they prepared the spices, and because they felt guilty, they did not respect or give him enough care because of the timing. They went early morning of the Sunday after the end of Saturday looking for the body of Christ just to put these spices, and this proves that they were dead sure that he died on the cross. You know, many of the atheists nowadays said that he might not die, or he was not the real Christ, and this all proven in the history of St. Mark and other Gospels, that he died on the cross, and his body was buried, and they were going just to put the spices. And next time we will continue the story of his resurrection. Glory to God. Amen.